Okay, I told you this week that I was at a choir concert. I was. The district choir at the high school played, and the girl I was talking about was Emma. In the middle of the concert, every now and then I'd saw her kind of sneak a peek over at Mom and Dad. They were sitting right in front of me to see if they were watching. Remember when the kids were real little? They'd do that all the time. They'd get something, they'd do something, and they'd be watching to see if you were watching, Grandma and Grandpa was watching. We want affirmation. This week, I don't know if you know this, but we had another student in our church win the state championship, private school, cheerleading captain, Emmy Wines. The private school, small division. I watched the routine on the internet. It was incredible. It was athletic. At one point, they did this kind of sideways thing. I don't even know how they do that. It was impressive, all right? It was impressive. We've got some talented kids in our church, guys. I don't know if you know this. I get to see it all the time. I don't know if you've been to a sporting event recently, but I do some announcing up there. I get to see just the raw talent of young people with plenty of energy. What they're capable of doing. It is wonderful to look at them. We got two state champions now, two brothers in the same house, man. Won the state championship wrestling in our high school. Just got done. Two twin brothers. They don't look like twins. One's 100 pounds heavier than the other. Both of them big guys, but I mean, this guy, just a Hulk. Both of them won state. I mean, just all kinds of great things. Hey, guys, there's a lot of potential in this room, and I'm not talking about just 15 and under. It's a lot of potential. If you think the best days of your life were behind you, you're wrong. You're wrong. If they are, we might as well just pack it up when we get to retirement and move someplace. We need you guys. Not just to finish well, but to do well right now. We're looking at you. There's a lot of young people in here. They're watching. Today we're going to summarize Hebrews chapter 13. Pastor Ben has been in this now just for a week or two. He had intended on looking at verse 4. Last week when we got snowed out, but he wasn't able to do it. I mean, it's pent up. We talked this week about verse 4 of chapter 13 in the office. And so I'm going to summarize verse 4, but just a little bit, because I don't want to get in too deep in verse 4, because, I mean, he's really excited about preaching on verse 4, which I'm happy. I'm glad I'm in 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. So we're going to stay seated as we kind of summarize this first section. But I want to kind of put a different tilt on it. Ben's been preaching a few of these messages, but as I was preparing out of Hebrews chapter 13, I noticed it kind of looked like an idea about being out of focus. I don't know if you're going to pick up on this in the verses or if it was just me, what the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about in Hebrews chapter 13. But if you'll notice as we go on, I hope it will make sense. This is the title of today's message, but is your life in focus? Is your life in focus? And what does a spiritually focused life look like if we used Hebrews chapter 13? Look in verse 1 really quickly. Let's summarize this. Let brotherly love continue. This is a simple verse, and we're not going to unpack this for a half an hour. Listen, continue in brotherly love towards one another. If a person's life is spiritually out of focus, this is one of the first things that goes. Isn't it not? When we're not right with God, we want to isolate ourselves. This is really not the place that we want to be when we're out of focus. Loving one another is one of the first things that goes when a spiritual life becomes unbalanced and it gets out of focus. That's why he has to remind us in Hebrews chapter 13 to continue doing it. It's not something that we naturally do on our own. We have to be reminded to continually love one another because our life has a tendency to get out of focus pretty quickly. Look at verse 2 and 3. Verse 2 and 3 says this, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." This second section of looking at what does a life look like if it's spiritually focused, one who shares hospitality to strangers. Don't forget those who have suffered for the gospel. Listen, in and out of prison. A spiritually focused life is going to be one who's attentive to the needs of others, to strangers, complete strangers. Let me ask you this, just don't raise hands. When's the last time that you helped an absolute complete stranger do anything? The heart of a focused person spiritually, they will have a desire to help the stranger. I mean, this person, you don't know them from Adam or Eve and help them along in their life. Or when's the last time you remember those that are suffering? Not just those that are bound in prison in handcuffs, but maybe someone that's suffering for Christ, someone that you know. Listen, a life that is spiritually focused is concerned about others. That's why Jesus had to remind us to love God and love others. It's the greatest of the commandments. Why would he have to remind a bunch of disciples something that should be so rudimentary? Because a lot of times our lives get out of focus. Verse 4. This is the one I'm not going to spend much time on because Ben's going to preach about this next Sunday morning. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Marriage should be honored, and oneness should be the goal. I'm not going to spend a lot of time summarizing this, but a life that's out of focus, if those two individuals are living together and they're not married, that is a life that is out of focus. God honors. It is honorable. Marriage is honorable. And let me just say this before we go any farther. I realize I'm being recorded. Marriage in the scripture is between one man and one woman. It's the way God designed it. He made the rules. We don't have permission to change them. It is honorable. Listen, we wake up in the morning after spending time in our bed with our spouses and we have no shame, no regrets, nothing but honor. Listen, the marriage bed is undefiled. What happens in your room is blessed by God. And it's only good when it's done the way God wants it to be done. Listen, this is such an easy thing to see out of Hebrews chapter 13. Sexually, if you're out of bounds, you're unfocused, it's easy to see here how it can happen. Listen, marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled, but only if it's done the way God designed it. And I'm not trying to harp on people. Listen, if you're living with somebody today, I want to encourage you. If you'll just back up and do it God's way, he'll begin to bless your life. A life that's out of focus, God can't afford to bless. And there's literally blessings waiting for those that choose to get married. Isn't it wonderful? I mean, I'm only 21 years. I met this couple on the Walmart parking lot that was 56 years into it. And I'm like, oh, man, you got to give me a piece of advice. Listen what he said. You got to keep holding her hand. I'm like, what? That's the best piece of advice I can give you. Keep holding her hand. Ben puts it this way. If you don't chase her, somebody else will. Gentlemen, you got to chase them. So easy when you're dating. Chase them now. Or somebody else will. You want to know a person that's spiritually unfocused? They got this area of their life messed up. I'm not going to talk anymore. Ben's going to spend most of the time next week in that one verse. But let's look just in summary in verse 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. I don't want to spend a lot of time here because we're preaching on 5 and 6 today. But let's look at 5 and 6 really briefly, and then we're going to stand and reread it. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Who can or what can man do to me? One who is content, depending on him and not living in fear. One who's content and not living in fear. If you're spiritually out of focus today, you're not content with what you have, and you spend a lot of your time, your decisions are forced by fear. The spiritually focused person is content. Whatever station you are, whether you have much or little, you're content, and you don't let fear rule your life. And the last idea here in 7 and 8 that we're going to cover tonight, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love how this little verse 8 seems out of place. If you read verses 1 through 8, verse 8 kind of seems a little bit out of place, all right? Verse 8, listen, read verse 8 again. It's just a little bit out of place. Listen what it says. Jesus Christ is the same today and forever. It's not out of place if you look back at the next verse. Listen, remembering who has spoken into your life and what they said. Listen, a person with their life in focus imitates those who imitate him. You want to see a person that's spiritually focused? They're imitating those people around them that are imitating him. Verse 8 isn't out of place. It shows us where our focus should be. If you're out of focus spiritually, there's a really good chance that you're not imitating the people around you that are imitating him. Now, I've got a few images. My friend down in Potosi, his name is Don Burke, has the most expensive camera of anybody I've ever met. Okay, he loves photography. It's his hobby. He doesn't really hunt a whole lot. He's a pastor at a small church down in Potosi, and I told him to take some pictures with this fancy camera. Let's look at the first one. I mean, look at that right there. Isn't that a nice picture? I mean, look at that. Can you tell that's been taken with a $4,000 camera? The lens on this camera is more expensive than the car that I drive back and forth to work. It's his hobby. He loves taking. I mean, look at the picture he took. Isn't that wonderful? Now let's see what it is. Oh yeah, it's a dollar bill now that we got it into focus, right? That's pretty simple. How about this one? Man, this picture right here, this will knock your socks off. Look at that one right there. I mean, that's impressive, isn't it, Jacob? What do you think that is? Let's take a look at it right here. Look at this in focus. Oh, yeah. Abe Lincoln right there on the penny, right? Let's take a look at the next one. I mean, this is a magnificent photograph right here. Look at the beauty in that right there. Incredible, isn't it? Now let's look at it in focus. Oh, yeah. Any of you guys ever read Hebrew? Hebrew, you start at the back of the book and read forward. So if you're going to start reading it, you got to start up in the top right, and you read from right to left. The end of the sentence is on the left with that little colon. It is messed up. Don't ever take Hebrew if you go to Bible school. It's terrible. But there's a great picture out of it. Well, let's take a look at this one right here. Oh, yeah. You got that one figured out, Rennie? Look at that. I mean, look at that. You can tell that's been taken by an expensive camera. Look at all of the work that got put into that. Now let's look at it in focus. A candle. That one messed me up when I looked at it. Any more, Brad?
Yeah.
One more. All right, here we go. Look at this. Two more. Look at this one here. You got that figured out? It's out of focus, isn't it? Let's take a look at it in focus. Oh, yeah. We know that psalm, don't we? Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lay down on green pastures, leads me beside. Yeah, okay, here we go. Oh, the last one. What in the world? At first, I thought this was one of those really nasty, chalky Valentines. Who eats those? Anybody willing to say you eat those little chalky Valentines? No. All right, I wondered who they make them for. They're the nastiest things. You put one of those in your mouth. Ugh. I mean, just ugh. Let's see what it is, though. In focus. Oh, yeah. Second only to the nasty little chalky ones is the ones that's got the weird stuff in the middle. You ever ate one of those, get to the middle, you're like, oh, man. Ugh. First service, the Hensons, the whole clan eats these every Sunday morning. They got a little Ziploc bag of them. I'm like, you guys are crazy. Out of focus. Now, listen. I show you these images just to kind of put a fine point this morning on this idea. When people look at you, is your image blurry spiritually? Are there things in your life that's got you out of focus that when the people around you take a look at you, they see a blurry image instead of a clear one? You know, it's our desire as Christians to not just live for the kingdom, but look like the kingdom. Not just help those that are in need, but do that in a secret place sometimes, where when we get done doing what we've just done in secret, we can peek over at our dad, knowing that he's watching. Maybe it's this week, the things of life have got you a little bit out of focus. Let's take a look at verse 5 and 6 again, and let's explore this idea of spiritual focus. Stand up. Let's read these two things in honor of the scriptures. We're going to dive right in. I promise you, that was a long introduction to a long message. All right, here we go. I'm kidding. Verse 5. Listen to the word of God. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with what such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. what can man do to me? You may be seated. Let's look back at verse 5, just at the first part of this. We're just going to take this in little chunks here. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Now, this is where we're going to kind of move around a lot, all right? So you're going to have your fingers ready. We're going to read a few verses in this section, so you're going to have to stay with me, all right? What does a life that's out of focus because of the love of money look like? In other translations, verse 5 talks about this as a love of money. Be without the love of money, this covetousness. But what does that image look like? I mean, we just looked at all kinds of images that were just a little bit out of focus. But what does the scripture say a person looks like because they're out of focus because of the love of money? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through many sorrows. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says that it's the reason for a lot of other things that are going wrong in our life. Money is. People lose focus and suffer pain because of the love of money. If your life is a mess, maybe money is the reason. I don't know that we look at that first. A lot of times we look at other things when our life's in a mess. But he says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of different evils. Listen, if you don't have a handle on this area of your life, you're in for a lot of pain. And all of us can attest in the room of some poor financial decisions that we made when we were younger because money ruled us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Listen to this. But know this, that the last days or perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Pain follows those whose life is out of focus. We should avoid others whose life is out of focus. Surround yourself with focused individuals, and surprise, surprise, it's going to be easier for you to stay focused. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, this was part of the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Listen, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Listen, you cannot serve God and money. There is a clear choice. You have to give up one to follow the other. If you're chasing, and if money's your king, you can't focus on God. There's a clear choice here. Matthew chapter 6, right in the middle of this huge discourse on the Sermon of the Mount, on the Mount of, is it Olives? It doesn't sound right for some reason when I say it. One of the most famous things. That he ever did, right in the middle of it, he says, you got to make a choice. It's not A, B, and C. It's just A or B. You're either going to serve money or you're going to serve him. Life's going to be in focus on money or it's going to be in focus on God. Matthew chapter 19, verse 23, and then we're done with this section. I might have lost some of you guys in these readings. It's easy when someone's reading. But listen to this last section. Come on, focus in. Listen. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel, we're going to have that at the Easter walk, to go, shameless plug, Thomas, to go through the eye of the needle. Then what? Money can make you hard-hearted towards help that can't be bought. I want to repeat that. Money can make you hard-hearted towards help that can't be bought. Was the guy's bank account the problem on why he couldn't get into heaven? Is that it? If it is, some of us need to kind of diversify a little, maybe give some away. Maybe it's gotten too big and we can't get into the kingdom of heaven. Was it the amount in the bank account? Of course not. Was it the clothes the man had on? When I was in high school, these pump Reeboks were really cool, and I had to have a pair. And by the time I got a pair, they were on clearance, and they weren't cool anymore. I told the kids about it in Sunday school. Everybody made fun of me. Was it the clothes that he did? He need to dress down? Wasn't any of those things. The rich man has a difficulty accepting the kingdom of God and becoming a believer, because if you're not careful, money will harden you to help that can't be bought. That's the heart of those two verses. So let me summarize this first section of the message by this. Rule it, or it will rule you. We're talking about the love of money. You either rule it in your life, money, or it will rule you. You'll be a debtor to money, or you'll be a debtor to God. You'll be an ower to money, or you'll be an ower to God. You'll be handcuffed to the next paycheck, or you'll be free to spend it however you want. The love of money. You know, when we look at our lives and they're a little out of focus spiritually, rarely do we look at money. I got to admit, when I was a kid, I didn't even have any. These kids, most of them don't even work. How could the love of money affect you guys, even without a job? Number two, what can bring focus to a life that is out of focus? Okay, we looked at the idea of what it looks like to be spiritually out of focus because of the love of money. Now, what can bring focus to a life that is out of focus? 5b. Let's look back at Hebrews chapter 5, 13, verse 5b. But be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Contentment brings proper focus to our limited time. Contentment brings focus to our limited time. Ken and Joanne Burnett's in the crowd today. They've been married a good long time. A lot of days spent together. A lot of days. But their life's been very brief. And Ken's turning 100 next year, I think. And Joanne still looks like she's 27. But their life's been short. You ask them. It's been short. You guys that's got teenagers or those that are grown, Hatfields are out of the house now or semi going to college. Just yesterday you were wiping little Andrew's butt, cleaning up his puke. Gosh, just like that. I was at a restaurant last week with a family. We went out together. And I got some kids these little gifts because when I was a little dad and we had little kids, people would always give us these most annoying toys. You know, in the middle of a restaurant, little Callahan, I got him this little thing. It had these shooters on it. And at one point, this little boy figured out how to load that thing. And there's this little square red button. You know what that button means. Mayhem! Mayhem! That first one flew across, got on the other people next to us, then went under the table. Little Claire was trying to get under there and all that dirt and pick that little missile up. And Claire's little thing kept making this obnoxious noise. What was it, babe? I was hoping she'd repeat it. She could do it that night. It was so hilarious. So annoying. I told everybody, we would have had 100 kids had we been able to get them when they were 2 and get rid of them when they were 8. They're fun in those years. They hold your hand. They enjoy you being around them. You're still cool. They don't complain about your shoes that you got on or your belt or whatever. Clay always says, I look like I dressed. Well, never mind. I can't say that in public. They're fun. It just goes by so fast. No matter how many days we have, if contentment is a part of our lives, we'll stay in focus. It's so easy to get out of focus because of this love of money. Contentment brings proper focus in our limited time. Contentment brings balance. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. I'm almost done skipping around. I do want to read these, though. They're important to my message. Listen, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Jordan, while we were at dinner, made a comment that I wanted to work into my message today. We were eating. He said, when I first got hired, I have no idea how we even paid for food. Can you remember those days when you first got married? I mean, it was so tight back then because you were making such stupid decisions and some just didn't make enough money. Contentment brings balance to those who have little and much. You know, in life spiritually, some of us are never going to have what others in this room have. That's okay. And some of us are going to have more than what others have in this room. And it's okay. Listen, contentment brings balance to both those that have little and those that have much. And if you read just a little bit further in Philippians, you get this powerful verse that everybody loves to quote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, the context isn't you're some mountain climber. It's that no matter if you have little or much, you can do all things through Christ. I'm so thankful. Our trajectory spiritually is not based on our bank account. It's based on Him. Whether rich or poor, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Contentment brings balance to both those that have little and those that have much. Now listen, we're going to flip back to Hebrews chapter 13 and we're not going to leave for the rest of the message. We're almost done. Flip back to Hebrews chapter 13. If I've lost you, you stay with me, all right? Stay with me. Here we go. 13 verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I love this. Listen, contentment brings our focus back to His promises. A life that's in focus is in focus because of Him. When it becomes out of focus, it's because we've taken our eyes off of His promises. Look back in verse 5b. This is a great key. You guys got this lock of what it looks like to be unfocused. Listen, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise you can take to the bank all day long. I met Him when I was 12 years old in the back of a 1989 Ford Aerostar minivan. My youth know the story because I have one. I met Him there in the back of that minivan. Listen, He's never left me. That can't be bought. Contentment comes from looking to His promises. Listen, if you're struggling with contentment in your life and your life is spiritually out of focus, just take a look back at Him. Contentment comes when we focus on Him. Whether you have little or much, He can do a lot with it. Contentment is key to unlocking a focused spiritual life. Last point, and then we're done. Verse 6 is a little challenging. It has three statements in it, all right? Look here. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Contentment, no matter the circumstances, always comes from contentment is present. Let me repeat that because I butchered my entire point. And I know there's a few note takers in here. Contentment, no matter the circumstances, always comes when contentment is present. And I butchered it for the third time. Confidence! Confidence, no matter the circumstances, always comes when contentment is present. I'm going to leave you with yes, yes, yes! Yeah! Now I'm going to leave you with three fortune cookie sentences, all right? And then we're going to be done with this message. I love fortune cookies. I don't know how they make those things, those little things in there, but they're so cool. Some of them are really powerful and others just stupid, you know? I end up drawing the stupid one pretty often. Let's look at these three statements. I'll try and refocus this. 6A, the Lord is my helper. When we're ready, and this happens often, when we're ready to take matters into our own hands, He reminds us that He's already holding ours. The Lord is my helper. Just at the point spiritually that we're ready to take matters in our own hands, like a bull in a china shop, He reminds us that He's already holding ours. He is our helper. Listen, confidence and contentment comes when we trust in Him. Listen, He is our helper and our sustainer. This is help that cannot be bought. You can't write a check out for this. Confidence and contentment comes from Him. This is help that can't be bought. 6B, I will not be afraid. Fear is the enemy that must be conquered to live a life of faith. It's fear. Fear must be conquered to live a life of faith. Confidence and contentment comes when we choose not to base our decisions in this life on fear. Listen, he finishes this section up by saying, I will not fear because boldness, because of his promises, is help that can't be bought. Boldness can't be bought. You can't write a check out tomorrow from your bank account and get more boldness. You can't avoid fear in your life because you got money in the bank account. It only takes one illness. Some of the older people in our church know this. You can plan a lifetime and go through one illness and lose everything that you've ever saved. Boldness, the lack of fear, is because of his promises. Listen, that is help you can't buy. Whether rich or poor, little bank account or great, we can have this. No fear. I will not be afraid. That's help that can't be bought. Then, last one. What shall man do to me? We are invincible. Literally invincible until he's done with us. I don't recommend you trying this out on the train in St. Clair, because he's going to be done with you as soon as it hits you. I'm not talking about foolishness. He's got a plan for your life, and he's got a number of days that you're going to be on earth. And until those days are done, you're invincible. Protection comes from our strong tower. Even in our weakest moments in life, we can lean upon him and trust his promises. Protection that extends past our life cannot be bought. It's given away. Oh, we work so hard to protect what we've made. We invest it. We buy things that we think is going to be valuable down the road. We're not taking none of that with us. What you brought in is what you're going to take out. Protection that extends past this life is help that can't be bought. Confidence and help that can't be bought, can't be taken. Right before we end, I want to leave you with this. Confidence and contentment that comes from him can't be bought, but it also can't be taken. No matter where you go in this life, if you're his, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can't buy that. Don't fear. What can man do to us? We've got something that money can't buy. So is your life out of focus today, spiritually? It just might be because of the love of money. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. And how do we get it back into focus where the people around us can see a clear picture? We turn our attention towards him. Because the help that he gives can't be bought. Let's stand. Lord, thank you today for this opportunity. Thank you for this word from you, God. It's simple. It was difficult to lay out a message out of just two verses, but the more I got into it, the richer and deeper it got. God, I pray that in this moment, as disciples, that we would pause long enough to look at our individual lives. And God, if we're out of focus, it just might be today because of money, something we might not have walked in here thinking about. But I pray, God, that if our life is out of focus spiritually, that you'd help us to turn it back towards you and your promises. Just when we're ready to take matters into our own hands, God, help us to see you holding ours. You are our helper. Do not fear. What can a man do to us? God, help us to live confidently this week in the promises of your scripture, and help the people around us see a clear picture of you in us. Bless this time of invitation. Help us to refocus on you. In Christ's name, amen. Time for an invitation. Use it however you see fit. How about you today?